Are you ready to sell more books? I'm Brian Cohen.
And I'm Claire Taylor. If you're ready to get your books into the hands of the right readers
and make some more money,
you've come to the right podcast.
And now it's time to talk tips, tricks, and news to help you sell more of your books. Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Sell More Book Show, episode 485. I'm Brian Cohen from Author Ad School, joined by Claire Taylor from FFS Media. Claire, it's the summer. It's just about the dog days of summer. I see reports that people are touching pavement and getting burns on their skin. I mean, it is summery out there. How are you doing in Texas?
I am staying inside in Texas mostly. I was walking outside a lot up until about mid-May.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, someone just tampered with the thermostat and it got very hot very quickly and it's not let up. It's brutal.
Yeah.
It's brutal. But, you know, that's what happens when you live in Texas.
Yep. Well, I'm glad you aren't getting burned by being out there since May. So what's going on in FFS Media?
There's a lot going on. Let's see. I sold out the retreat, so that is done. Woo! But if anyone who is listening wanted in on the retreat or was considering it, I will be doing more in 2024. So you can still go to liberatedwriter.com or ffs.media/retreat, and you can sign up for updates on when the next one is. And you'll be the first to know so that you don't miss out.
Awesome.
And then I haven't yet announced my Liberated Writer course, but I will in a week or two. So just stay tuned for that.
Okay. I'm going to be ready.
What about you, Claire? Brian? What do you got going on?
Well, we're in mid-challenge, taking care of 4,600 authors this month, and our ad school coupon that goes live every challenge for $100 off, it is currently there at adschool2023.com, $100 off the price, and we just keep adding stuff. We're going to start doing writing sprints in ad school.
Oh, fun.
As if our 4 days, 4 days a week of live calls every single week, our additional Q&As and our wall-to-wall support wasn't enough, we decided, writing sprints too.
Yeah, I didn't want to say anything, Brian, but I thought you should probably take on some more tasks.
Yes. No, I think, yeah.
Starting to get upsetting how few you had.
I could tell you were holding back on something, Claire.
Yeah. It's just some wall has come between us, and it's,
I know.
It's that and you didn't have enough
it's
tasks.
It's my lack of, yeah, exactly. Well, adschool2023.com. Let's go into the previous week's question. Threads. Are you still using Threads? If you've joined Threads or checked it out, what is something about the culture you've observed that seems different from other social media networks? Brian S. Paul said, I joined Threads within the first 24 hours. I'm enjoying the vibe, but I've been through the social media life cycle enough times. I don't expect it to last.
Yep. And then Jonathan Auerbach said, so far, it's like we're back in 2011 and all the celebrities are on there asking open-ended random questions to try to get engagement. Yes.
Yeah. Well,
except we're all more knowledgeable now. We're on to the scheme, and it wears thin pretty quick.
Yeah, it really does. It really does. And I don't think I've logged into it in a week, personally.
Yeah, I took it off my phone. It was turning into memes. It was just giving me meme pages and brand accounts, and I was like, this ain't it.
Yeah, this is not the Threads I was hoping for.
Yeah, this is not the Threads of a week ago.
True story. All right, well, speaking of true stories, let's go into the top story, book sales stat. Years of frustration with the New York Times and USA Today bestseller lists often spark talks that somebody should start a real bestseller list, unbiased and based purely on numbers. Well, it looks like that's finally happening, reports Jane Friedman in her Hot Sheet newsletter. Bookstat, An industry data service that tracks online book sales has launched its own monthly bestseller list, writes Friedman. The lists, which do not include print books, are available via LinkedIn and feature two top 20 lists per month, one for ebooks and one for digital audio. The Bookstat lists also feature lists of a 12-month rolling top 20 of books and authors. Quote, Bookstat is proud to publish its first monthly list of the top 20 highest-selling audio and ebooks, they say in their inaugural post. Using comprehensive data, Bookstat is the only real-time subscription service tracking sales of audiobooks and ebooks, end quote. And, as Friedman says, the lists include both indie and traditionally published authors. You may remember Bookstat by its original name, Author Earnings, launched as a project by Hugh Howey and his anonymous partner, known then only as Data Guy. Bookstat was purchased in August 2022 by Podium. The Bookstat monthly bestseller list will be posted on Bookstat's LinkedIn page the first week of every month. So it's not weekly. Interesting. Okay, Bookstat, as it was formerly Author Earnings, we used to talk about Author Earnings way back in the day, and then it kind of faded away, and then it was picked up by Podium, then it faded away. What is Podium trying to do here, Claire? I mean, that's the big question I have.
I think that they have seen an opening. They've seen a need for some sort of data that is not, you know, manipulated on sales. And I think that this is a great way for Podium to get more into ebooks because they were, you know, they started in audiobooks. So, of course, this is going to include audiobooks in that data. Yeah. But yeah, I think that this might be sort of a way to scooch on over there.
Yeah, I mean, definitely. If that I have is if people take this list seriously, if people care about it enough to talk about it, it'll be word of mouth. And if people don't really care, then it might not lead to anything. But USA Today bestseller list always seem to have a pretty good understanding of the numbers from my experience. Bookstat probably is going to have an even deeper connection with those digital sales.
Yeah, I don't know that this is... I mean, I think a lot of that word of mouth depends on how much readers find out about it.
Yep.
Because if a book says Bookstat bestseller list or best-selling author, whatever, people are going to be like, what is that?
Right.
You know, it doesn't, you know, everyone knows what USA Today bestselling author means. Right. They think they know what it means. So yeah, that's, I don't know. It may take a little bit of time for the readers to pick up on it.
Agreed. So Claire, into our hot potatoes of wisdom, will authors now try to hit the Bookstat list?
I do think that authors are going to try to hit the Bookstat list. I think some will. Mm-hmm. There will always be some that strive for whatever achievement. but I tend to think that this falls into the stupid games, stupid prizes category when it comes to where you put your attention.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
Okay, Brian, what would it take for the Bookstat bestseller list to become valuable and something that authors strive to make?
Well, I think authors will really want to be on the Bookstat list if they see an increase in sales and then they can attribute it to that. For a time, there was this thought that being on a USA Today bestseller list or being a USA Today bestselling author or New York Times bestseller, if you put that in your blurb, if you put that on your cover, it could increase sales, supposedly. But then I think a lot of people tried to do it. Now, who knows if it actually really does? I haven't seen any recent statistics on this. So what it would need to happen is authors would need to see, yep, people care about this, and now I'm going to shoot for it too, but it'll be hard because it's over the course of a month, not just a week.
Yeah, that is a lot of sustained marketing that most indie authors are not used to, let alone able to finance.
Yeah, you need, if you think about it, yes, to get 6,000 sales in 1 week, which is usually about what you need for USA Today, average that out. Are you going to need 24,000 sales over the course of a month to be in the running for the top 20? Probably even more than that.
Yeah, although it's going to take a lot of people out of contention for gaming it because you can't just throw a bunch for a week. Yeah, so it's going to be which books are genuinely anticipated by readers and being bought in some organic or word of mouth fashion.
Yeah. Well, hey, I'm interested to see how this list evolves over time. But we've got some lightning. Pew, pew. Pew. Pop, pop, pop. Pop.
I think that listeners are just waiting for that moment in
every single time. Claire,
get your lightning sound effects, please.
I know. Please. We just have people continuing to write in. They're writing in as much as people were posting spam in our Facebook group earlier today. So, Claire, have you experienced toxic productivity, and how did you pull yourself out of it?
I have fallen into the toxic productivity trap a few times in my life because I thought that's what good people did, is they stayed busy and they worked really hard. And, you know, that's, if you want to earn something, you have to deserve it that way. And so I've fallen into that routine, and there are definitely deep tracks in my brain for that. And so I have to watch out for things naturally just kind of falling into those tracks and following that along. I wish I could take credit for getting myself out of those, but usually what happens is my health becomes pretty poor when I have practiced toxic positivity for too long and I have something that slows me down. Something that reminds me, it could be as simple as just like, wow, why do I have this tension headache? You know, and I can pick up on it a little sooner. But before it's been, you know, acid reflux, it's been all these different, you know, health things where I had to go see a doctor about it. But once that happens and kind of, you know, smacks me on the forehead and says, hey, you're doing it again, then I realize that I need to evaluate what am I doing and why am I doing it? Because I really think that anywhere from like 50 to 70% of what we do every day is not to accomplish what needs to be accomplished, but to make ourselves feel accomplished. So really deconstructing that, it turns out that there's a lot less that I need to do each day to move towards my goals and to achieve the feelings that I thought I would achieve if I only did X, Y, and Z.
I love that. Yeah, I mean, the deep tracks metaphor you said right at the beginning stuck with me because, oh yeah, got some tracks here. I've got some Enneagram 2 party guy or 3, which is the achiever?
The 3, yeah.
3, yeah. 3 party guy here. And so I love that, you know, you have this barometer. And if you notice, oh, health's getting bad, you know, we got to get out of the groove here.
Noticing, learning what the signs are and seeing if you can notice it sooner and if you can get out of those, you know, those ruts quicker each time.
Yes. Awesome.
So, Brian, how do you strike the balance between being productive and ensuring you take time for rest and self-care?
So it is hard to strike the balance between being productive and that self-care, but one of the tips that Jamie Masters of Eventual Millionaire gave me a long time ago that sticks with me is at the beginning of every year, schedule your vacations first. Know what time you're going to take off. And if you can have that time blocked out, you won't be in this scramble to do things right before a vacation because you can look ahead and say, well, that deadline isn't going to happen because I have a week off in February. And so schedule your vacations first.
I love that. I've been practicing that. It works, guys. It works.
Yeah, absolutely. So Claire, kind of pivoting to newsletters here, how does a lead magnet or reader magnet differ when you're trying to find a new reader versus someone who just finished your book to join your list?
Mm-hmm. So when you're deciding how to construct your reader magnet or your lead magnet for your series, you want to decide what entry point, because that's where the reader is. So if it's, you know, if they've never read any of your stuff and this is to get them to start reading your series, then it needs to stand alone. It needs to be something that is super, super on target for what you're actually going to be offering them. So if you're going to, if you're writing a mystery series, don't give them a lead magnet that is not a mystery. Get, if you can get your protagonist in it, you know, really introduce them with that, that magnet somehow. If it's something that you're going to put at the end of, say, book one or book two to entice readers onto your list that way, then you're going to have more warmed up readers. And you don't have to offer quite the same thing. You can offer enhancements to the series. So that can be an epilogue, or it can be, you know, a case file or something that helps build the world that they've already been introduced to. So either way, you just want to make sure that you're thinking about things from the reader's perspective. Are they familiar with what you're doing? Are they the right kind of reader? Do you need to just pull in the right kinds of readers by giving them exactly like a taste test of exactly what you'll be giving them with your books? Or do you want to take people who already like your books and really enhance the experience for them so that they stick around?
I love that. And so many authors think that it should always be the same thing. I'm glad that you cleared it up.
All right, Brian, has Amazon's recent change to the number of categories a book can be in changed things for authors and book sales?
So this was a big, you know, a big story. I forget if we even talked about it too much where, hey, it used to be that you could just email Amazon and now you, in order to change your categories, and now, nope, you're picking them. And there's a lot of benefits to going in there and even picking these with your old books, because Amazon is starting to go back through the backlist of Amazon books and pick three categories at random. And you want to make sure you're not letting Amazon make that choice, that you get to make that choice. I think that it all comes back to relevancy. If your book is in relevant categories, you have relevant metadata, aka book settings. If you have the most relevant metadata possible, you're going to show up better in search, and you are going to have more ads start to serve and get more impressions and more clicks to the right kind of readers. If you don't do it, or you are kind of willy-nilly about the categories that you do pick, it's going to hamper your ability to show up on Amazon. So I definitely think it has changed things in a good way, because it's making people remember, oh, these are important, and I'm so glad that people are now having this discussion again.
Yeah, I think that the changing of this coincided with a lot of other things that have made some people feel like maybe this has made their book sales decline. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. What do you think? Do you think that those two things are linked or just
coincidental? Well, a lot of things happened all at once, like you said, including the story we covered a couple weeks ago about the Zoe Bub kind of bringing a lot of traffic at the same time that Amazon has just brought in a new rule that they can spend your budget at the end of a month when they usually weren't going to do that. And so we really still are kind of waiting and seeing about a few things on this. But what we need to do is we need to determine, is this in my control or is this not? Because if we attribute everything to things that are out of our control, well, then we're kind of stuck. But if we use the time to instead whine about what is not in our control, that's going to waste our energy and we're not going to have the opportunity to work on what is in our control. So conserve your energy and focus on what you can change.
Serenity now.
Exactly. To close us out, Claire, how do you research your books, keywords, and categories before you publish?
Well, I think there are a few ways to research your keywords and categories prior to publishing. You can do it the good old-fashioned way, which is looking at the lists, looking at other books, finding comps, seeing what kind of keywords come up with those in the subtitle and in the descriptions. You can also use something like Publisher Rocket. Is it still called Publisher Rocket?
Yep.
Okay. You can use Publisher Rocket to pull some keywords and try those out, to browse the categories and get data on that. I think what you said about relevancy is also very, very important. Now you have to make some important choices. So which categories ultimately are the most relevant to your book? Which ones will readers go to, find your book, and then have the experience they expected? So browsing those lists can be an easy way to figure that out.
I love that. I'm so glad you used the word expectations. Readers have very clear expectations. And if you don't know what those are, you need to go find them, because otherwise your books may not sell.
Yeah. Or they'll sell to the wrong people, which can lead to some other complications.
This is true. Claire, we need a question of the week. We talked up top about the new Bookstat bestseller list. We also talked about toxic productivity, metadata, lead magnets. What do you want to ask?
Let's talk about Bookstat lists.
Okay.
Let's figure out what people plan on doing with that, or about that, or at all.
Yeah, how about, do you think your readers will care about the Bookstat bestseller list? And do you plan to try to be involved in some way?
Love it. Perfect. No notes.
You can answer the question of the week over at sellmorebookshow.com or in the comments section for the Sell More Bookshow after party post. Well, Claire, I definitely think that people should have already be starting a waiting list for your 2024 retreats, because these this one coming up sounds like it's going to be so awesome. And I'm really glad that you're getting to have these smaller events with people that are really pushing for it. And I think that it's going to fit really well with your business.
Well, thanks for that, Brian. I appreciate your support.
Sure thing. Of course. And Ad School, $100 off through July 31st, adschool2023.com. Any final words, Claire?
Stay cool, whatever it takes.
Stay cool out there. Love it. For Claire, I'm Brian. Have a great week of bookselling, everybody. And we will talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Sell More Book Show. Visit the website at www.sellmorebookshow.com for detailed show notes and subscription information, or to send us news or comments for use on the show. Also, please take a moment to subscribe to the show and leave us a review. Thank you very much for listening, and happy bookselling.